Well, open up with me this morning in your Bibles to Mark the 8th chapter, Mark chapter 8. And Jesus made comment to the disciples that their hearts were becoming hardened. Therefore, if our heart can become hardened, then apparently we can become sensitive to God's will and have a sensitive heart. There's other terms used in the New Testament for a sensitive heart. I like what it says over in Ephesians chapter 4, and that's where it tells us to have a heart that's soft before Him. Tender heartedness is used in that passage of Scripture, that God wants us to have a heart that's tender toward Him. And in this passage of Scripture, for a number of weeks, we have been taking up this issue about the power of our memory, the power of remembrance, the fact that God has given us this awesome thing, not only the Word of God, not only praying in the Spirit that can make us sensitive before the Lord, but also the memory that God has given to us and how much of the Word of God revolves around memory. Here in Mark chapter 8, I want you to look with me at verse 13. Mark chapter 8 and verse 13. And he, that is Jesus, left them, that is the Pharisees, and entered into a ship again and departed to the other side. Now the disciples had forgotten to take bread, neither had they any in the ship with them more than one loaf. And he charged them, saying, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have no bread. And when Jesus knew it, he said unto them, why reason ye because you have no bread? Perceive ye not yet, neither understand? Have you your heart yet hardened? Notice they had ears they couldn't hear, they had eyes they couldn't see. Verse 18, having eyes see ye not, having ears hear ye not, and do you not remember? When I break the 5 loaves among 5,000, how many baskets full of fragments took you up? And they said unto him, 12. And when the 7 among 4,000, how many baskets full of fragments took you up? And they said, 7. And he said unto them, how is it that you do not understand? In their laps, as they had gone out from this second miracle, they had 7 baskets of bread. Now, after meeting with the Pharisees, they had 1 loaf left. Jesus is telling them, in essence, don't you understand the importance of these baskets of fragments that are left over? Don't you understand the bread that's left over, the fish fragments that are left over? And they did not. Jesus is simply pointing out that after every miracle, after every sign and wonder, after every service we come to, after God ministers to you in your life, there are fragments that we take with us, and those fragments are the memory, the remembrance of what God has done for us. This morning we're going to talk about a term called memorials. That God, throughout the Word of God, has set up memorials. And that word memorial, actually we get our word memory from that, or memorial comes from the word to remember. That God has established memorials in our life. And this was actually the 3rd boat ride that they had had. The first one was found back in chapter 4. After Jesus had taught to the multitudes the parables, then he took his disciples alone in verse 34 and explained to them the parables. He explained to them about the sower and the seed, what the sower was, what the seed was, what the hearts were, what the birds were, what Satan was, all these things that were brought out in this parable. The Bible says that Jesus explained those to his disciples. And then in verses 35 through 41, they got into a ship. Jesus went to sleep, the storm arose, and the disciples didn't remember what Jesus had just said. They had the power within themselves to come through that storm because of what had just happened with Jesus and with the parables. Next time in chapter 6, we find the first miracle of the loaves and fishes. And in verses 45 through 52, after the multiplying of the loaves and fishes, this time they had 12 baskets, one for each disciple. And they took those baskets and got into the ship, and Jesus went up into a mountain to pray. The disciples went out into the midst of the Sea of Galilee. A storm broke out, and they started trying to row to shore. And Jesus saw them and came walking on the water. And when he came walking on the water, they thought he was a ghost and began to cry out, began to scream, it's a ghost, it's a ghost. And Jesus had to come and tell them, no, it's just me. Now, after this encounter with the Pharisees and the second miracle of the loaves and fishes, they had 7 baskets left over. And of those 7 baskets, they now have 1 loaf left. And after this particular miracle, Jesus tells them to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and those of Herod. And they still don't understand. And Jesus, it's like after 3 boat rides, Jesus says, now do you understand? They went, no. 3 boat rides, they still don't get it. That after every miracle, after every revelation of the Word of God, they still don't understand the importance of remembering. If they would have remembered what just happened, they would have come through the first storm. storm, the second storm, they would have come through this particular instance with the Pharisees. But in chapter 4 and verse 7 of James, it tells us what a sensitive heart is. A sensitive heart does this: submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. But a hardened heart is exactly the opposite. A hardened heart in a Christian submits to Satan and resists God. In other words, a sensitive heart isn't sensitive to everything, and a hardened heart isn't hardened to everything. A hardened heart is hardened toward the things it should be sensitive to, and sensitive toward the things it should be hardened to. Again, on the other side, a sensitive heart is sensitive toward the things that should be, that's God, and hardened toward the things that should be, and that's Satan. But the disciples have everything backwards because they are not sensitive to God. Because back in chapter 6, in fact, turn back to chapter 6 with me and look at a verse of scripture there. Look with me at the closing verse, verse 52 of this particular story. It says there, well, go back to the end of verse 51. And they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure and wondered why. For they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. If they would have just considered, remembered, meditated on the loaves they had in their hand, the baskets in their lap, if they would have just meditated on the miracle, then they would have again had a softened heart. But their heart was hardened because they would not remember what God had just done. And so again, because of that, the disciples were hardened toward the things of God. When Jesus came walking on the water, they thought he was Satan. They thought he was a ghost. But with the Pharisees, of which they should have been hardened to, they were open to, and they should have screamed at the Pharisees and been open to Jesus. But the sad thing was they screamed at Jesus and were open to the Pharisees. And these were believers. How sad it is. But again, we find out from the Word of God, God wants us to have a heart that's tender toward Him. Then last week we went to John chapter 4. We talked about how that Jesus went to Samaria with His disciples. And Jesus went to the well, the disciples went to the city, and the disciples missed the whole point. He sent them to the city to win souls because the city was ripe for the gospel. But they missed it. They were not sensitive to the Spirit, but they were sensitive to business. On the way back, they walked through the fields and were commenting, and Jesus said, "Don't say there are 4 months and then comes the harvest." And that's exactly what they had said. He said that you missed the greatest harvest of all. For He said, right in front of your eyes, the field were white, all ready to harvest, and that was the city of Samaria. So they didn't win the souls, but the little girl got to go back and lead the rest of them to the Lord Jesus, and a miracle took place. The disciples could have had it. Then we went to John chapter 10 last week and talked about those passages of Scripture where Jesus said, "My sheep know my voice, and a stranger they will not follow." That is our goal as believers, to come to a point where our ears are sensitive to the Holy Spirit and dull toward the things of Satan. Even though we recognize Satan's voice, we don't follow him because he's a stranger, but we do follow the Lord. And so again, the sad thing is oftentimes believers know the voice of Satan, know the voice of the world, but they can't hear the voice of God. So we can tune out certain things and tune in other things. We can make our hearts sensitive toward the things of God. Again, I brought out to you that the Word of God is important as far as building up a sensitive heart. Of course it is. And we certainly don't want to deny that. And praying in the Spirit. I can't tell you how many verses deal with praying in the Spirit and a sensitive heart. 1 Corinthians 14 tells us, tells us there that when we pray in the Spirit, that we become sensitive to the Lord. It tells us the same thing in Jude verse 20, that as we pray in the Spirit, that our heart becomes sensitive to the things of God. But there's one that we have left out for so long that Jesus brings out here. He says, "How many loaves did you have left? 12. How many the second time? 7. Now do you understand?" The key verse was in verse 18. Do you not remember? Do you not remember? So we started our remembrance list. How many of you have been taking care of your memory list? Let me see your hands. Have you been filling out your memory list? Good. Between services, right? You start on it. Mark didn't raise his hand the first service. I got all over him, so he went back and started one. But I've asked you for the past couple of weeks to start filling out those major things in your life. Things you can go back and remember when God specifically spoke to you, led you, did a miracle in your life. I've already got a page and a half here, and starting out with when I was born again, filled with the Holy Spirit. Times when God has ministered to me and opened up a door and led me into the ministry. Times He's blessed Loretta and I. Things we both knew in our heart about the church. Things that we both knew in our life about the leading of the Holy Spirit. I've got things on here. I've even got a thing on here when there's one car we bought. The moment I sat inside of it, I knew that was our car. Didn't know how much it cost or anything, but God just bore witness, this is a car he had for me. We walked into a house one time looking for houses. We'd looked and looked and looked. And finally, one day, Loretta drove down a street that there, you know, had she'd never driven down before. There was no signs or anything. Drove down a street, saw a house for sale. She called the man. The man opened up so we could see it. And the moment we walked in the front door, we knew that house was ours. We hadn't looked at any of the bedrooms. He hadn't looked at the living room. But the moment I walked in, I'd have signed the thing right there. Didn't know how much he wanted for it. But God said, the moment I walked in the door, this is your house. We both knew it. And I remember those supernatural things. But these are things you can remember back through the years that I wrote down on here that makes me know if God led me in the past, he'll lead me tomorrow. If God took care of us in the past, he'll take care of us tomorrow. And of course, this is again the power of the memory. The memory is so powerful, we often forget about it. We often take it for granted. Some Christians will never admit they have a mind. They don't want to admit they have a mind. They think once they got born again, all God cares about is the spirit. And you mention the mind and they go, this is not a mental thing. Well, partly it is. He didn't give you a brain to throw away. He gave you a brain to use. Some Christians don't even use their brain. They're always looking for the spirit, the spirit, the spirit. And some things ought to just be spiritual common sense to every believer. But the power of the memory is so important, so powerful. We see it in our natural everyday life. The power of the memory can cause you to laugh, can cause you to cry, can cause great mood swings to come over you. That's the power of the memory. Here, the disciples had bread in their hands. Oh, the power of taste, to taste something and remember it. My mom makes the best blueberry pie in the world. I grew up on her blueberry pie. Now, don't any of you try to compete with her. You can't win. And if you made it for me anyway, I'd give it away. I'm on a diet. So anyway, she makes the best blueberry pie. And whenever she makes that for me and I taste it off, memories come back of my childhood. I can remember things because of the taste of that blueberry pie. And Loretta makes the best chocolate chip cookies in the world. I don't care what Chip says. Hers are the best in the world. And nobody compete with her cookies. You taste those, and I mean, I remember years of marriage. It's just like she's made them for years, always the best chocolate chip cookies. That's the power of taste. There's the power in the Word of God of fragrance. Fragrance brings back memories. Song of Solomon. There's so many things brought out about fragrance in the Song of Solomon. The woman was separated from her lover, and she would talk about the smell of apples and cinnamon. She'd talk about the different spices, and she would keep those around her because every day she would smell that, remember her lover, and therefore wouldn't be tempted by other suitors coming her way. The power of memory. And again, the fragrance. In fact, that portion there of Song of Solomon deals with the fragrance of memories, how that fragrances can bring back memories, and there's such a power in that. Loretta and I were walking through a grocery store one day and buying groceries, and I looked down there, and we're going through where all the cosmetics and the toothpaste and stuff was. And I looked down there and there was a bottle of Jade East. I hadn't seen Jade East since I was in high school. Didn't even know if they made it anymore. And that's what I used to always wear. I know it's cheap, but that's what I could afford back in high school was Jade East. So I bought a bottle of that and took it home. The moment I opened up the lid and smelled it, days of convertibles and kids filling the cars, driving down the street. Going to Boots and Pennington's Drive-In here in Tulsa. You have to be from Tulsa, remember Boots and Pennington's. But driving down the streets and going to the beach and all those things were all right there in that bottle. Just one smell brought back memories of the past. That's the power of memories. There's sounds that bring back memories. Why do you think oldies but goodies stations flourish? Because people remember these things. For some of you, it's back in World War II. It was back a few weeks ago during D-Day, and they were talking about all that, the power of music that was brought back there. Glenn Miller, all those other ones back there bring back memories to you and can cause tears to come to your eyes. Great emotions swell across you as you hear the sounds of the past. For some, it's the Beach Boys. You hear the Beach Boys and memories come back and all the fun times of being a kid. But that's the power of memories again. Now, sometimes it gets carried away. The power of the memory is so strong, some people choose to live in the past, and that's wrong. Some people are so wrapped up in the past. That's not only true in the natural, where some people still live back in the 60s and the 40s and never have come out of it, but it's also true in the spiritual kingdom, for some still live back in the days of great revivals, as if God can do nothing today like he used to do. Folks, memories are powerful, and thank God for the past revivals we have had. But all those are to do is to key in the fact and get our spirit up and our anticipation up that if God's done it in the past, He'll do it again. If God's blessed us in the past, He'll minister again. Therefore, again, this particular teaching on the power of memories tells us that God wants us to take the same thing that is so powerful in our daily life around us. We can take that and pull that into our spiritual life also. And the power of memories can help us get through everyday life as we have so many things to be in remembrance of. I want you to turn over with me while you're there to chapter 3 of Hebrews. And I want you to see a generation that failed to remember God's blessing. God put memorials around them every day. This is the generation that was in the wilderness for some 40 years. This generation saw God move every day, but they didn't remember yesterday. They didn't remember last week. Every morning they would get up and forget yesterday, just like the disciples getting into the ship with all that bread in their hand. They didn't remember 10 minutes ago. They didn't remember a half hour ago. They didn't remember that morning. And the same thing happened with a generation for 40 years. God every day tried to get them to remember the past, put memorials around them, but they failed every single day. And God wants us to take our example from them. Although they're written in the Word of God, He wants us to take and look at them and learn from their mistakes and change our lives. The same thing that was mentioned of them is mentioned of the disciples under Jesus, that they didn't remember all of His benefits. Look with me here at chapter 3, and let's start with verse 7. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 7. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today if you will hear His voice, harden not your heart. Harden not your heart. The Greek word for harden is sklerune. Sklerune. S-K-L-U-R-E-N-E, sklerune. And the word here, actually, we get our English word sclerosis from this word, hardening of the arteries. So arteriosclerosis comes from this. Again, it's a hardening process. And just like the arteries harden over a period of time, so can your heart harden over a period of time. And he says in this verse of Scripture, notice it is not God that hardens your heart. Listen to this. It's not Satan that hardens your heart. You harden your own heart. You either take advantage of what God offers and soften your heart and make your heart tender, or else you take advantage of what Satan has and you harden your heart. The greatest example I can bring to you of this is back in the Old Testament, back when the children of Israel were in captivity in Egypt, and Moses was sent by God to deliver the children of Israel. He went in and spoke to Pharaoh's heart, and Pharaoh said, I will not let them go. So God began to perform miracles, 10 of them. And it says in the beginning, after every miracle, it would say that Pharaoh said, okay, I'll let your people go. But just the next verse later, it say, but Pharaoh hardened his heart. And so Pharaoh would come back and say, no, I'm not going to let your people go. God would do another miracle. And the miracles got so powerful that even the Egyptians started trusting in God. Even the two magicians that were there, Jannes and Jambres, came to the king and said, king, stop this. This is the true God. We can only go so far, but their God is real. And yet it would say that Pharaoh would harden his heart. It finally got to the point where Pharaoh hardened his heart so many times that God finally just took all of the protection away. Around Pharaoh was all types of things to help soften his heart. There was the witness of the miracles. There was the witness of Moses. There was the witness of those around him. And yet in each case, after he hardened his heart, God began to remove these things to where finally, after 5 or 6 times, then it started saying, God hardened Pharaoh's heart. Not that God purposely hardened his heart. God just started removing all the barriers. And God turned him over, as it says in Romans chapter 1, to a reprobate mind. This man had become so hard, nothing would penetrate him, and God finally saw that it was a losing cause and started removing all the barriers and started removing all the things that he placed around him to protect him. And so the sad thing was, though, a whole generation of Israelites left Egypt, and where Pharaoh was an unbeliever, all these were believers, but in the same way that Pharaoh hardened his heart toward God, a whole generation hardened their heart toward God in the wilderness. Therefore, it says in verse 8 again, harden not your hearts as in the provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and notice this, saw my works for 40 years. Yet they always had memory lapse. God would bless them one day and they'd forget the next day. Pour out a miracle one day and they'd forget it the next day. 40 years, God blessed them and blessed them. Verse 10, wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Notice this, take heed, brethren. We're to learn from them, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing or withdrawing from the living God, but exhort one another, encourage one another daily, while it is called today. Encourage one another how often? Daily. While it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. You see, sin comes in so subtly, comes in so deceitfully. Satan's the one that wants you to stop remembering what God's done in the past and wants you to start worrying about today. Therefore, it says today, 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 while it is still called today, daily we are to remember His blessings. That's why it says in Psalm 103, who daily loads us with benefits. God did it yesterday, the day before, and certainly He'll take care of us today. I want you to turn over with me while you're there in Hebrews to chapter 9. We're going to talk about the memorials that God established for Israel. Again, the word memorial, we get our word memory from that, but memorials are set up to jog our memory, to remember things of the past. We have them in our daily natural life, but we also have them in our spiritual life. And the author of memorials is God Himself. Therefore, we have here in chapter 9 one of the great memorials that Israel had. Chapter 9, look with me at verse 3. It says, describing the tabernacle, and after the second veil, the tabernacle which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer, and notice this, the Ark of the Covenant, overlaid round about with gold, wherein, or inside of which, was the golden pot that had manna, Aaron's rod that budded, and the tablets of the covenant, or the tables of the covenant. Inside the Ark of the Covenant, the Ark of the Covenant was a memorial in and of itself. The Ark of the Covenant was the daily remembrance to the people of the presence of God. The Ark always reminded them that God is in our presence. It was in the middle of the camp. It was carried in front of all the people to let the people know as they traveled, as they marched, or as they bivouacked at night and set up in their camp, that this was the place of God's presence, that always the Ark represented God is in our midst. Right above the Ark was always the Shekinah glory of God, hanging there to let the people know God is in our midst. But not only was it a memorial to the presence of God, within the memorial was three other memorials. And the first one that is mentioned there is a golden pot of manna. Do you remember what happened to the manna if they let it sit outside too long or they brought in their tent and didn't eat it that night? It bred worms and stank. In other words, it just started deteriorating right there. So it became moldy. It started dying. But you know what? Once it was placed in the ark, this piece of manna stayed forever. In other words, in the ark it was preserved. So they took a piece of manna, put it into a golden pot, and set it down inside. What was the manna a symbol of? The manna was a symbol of the daily provisions of God. Whenever they saw that, it reminded them that God provides for them every single day. This isn't just a remembrance of all the major things God has done for you in the past. Those instances you can count on two hands. This is the daily miracles that God has provided us with that we often overlook. How many times have you sat down at the dinner table at night and you're concerned about meeting of finances while you're eating food that God provided at that moment? While you're eating your dinner, you're afraid He's not going to come through tomorrow. And while you're eating and drinking, you simply don't remember what's been placed in front of you. And the people of God would often complain, "What are we going to do? What are we going to do?" And in their hand was a piece of manna. They would eat it and scream, "What are we going to do? What are we going to do?" Sound like some disciples in the ship with loaves of bread screaming, "It's a ghost, it's a ghost." How often do we do the same thing? How often do we forget the promises and the provisions of God daily? Next of all, what is mentioned there is the rod that budded from Aaron. Aaron was the high priest. What did the bud represent? The miraculous daily priesthood they had. There was not a day that went by that if you sinned, you couldn't get forgiveness of it. It's not a thing that you had to wait once a year or once every 6 months. Daily, you could get forgiveness of sins. The priesthood was there every day. Notice this, we have a higher priest than Aaron. His name is Jesus. We have the great high priest, whoever is at the right hand of God making intercession for us, who is daily there for us. And any moment that we sin, we can ask Him to forgive us, and we are instantly cleansed as we, a generation of priests, can approach our great high priest in heaven. And we have that priesthood every single day, meaning that even if we stumble, even if we fail, this isn't Satan getting through to us to destroy us. This is us making a mistake. This is us sinning. Even if we blow it, we have immediate forgiveness of sins. God takes care of us. They had the priesthood, we had the priesthood. The last thing that's mentioned there in that passage of Scripture is the tablets of stone. This is what the law was written on and represents our daily portion of the Word of God. Our daily bread. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Therefore, the tablets represents God's promises that we have every day. Aren't you glad you have the Word of God with you every day? Not only in the Bible, not only on your coffee table, not only beside your bed, but in your heart. That's where the Word of God is. And it's there, something we have every single day. I'll tell you what, your list could expand by volumes. Now's when you need that pad of paper that we have out there for you. That pad is where you can start listing all the daily blessings of God, the daily provisions of God. The children of Israel every day had a memorial around them that God provides for them every single day. Yes, He provided the Red Sea. Yes, He provided in Egypt. But He provides for us every moment of every single day. And memorials were established around them to remind them of that. Let me give you another memorial they had that they carried with them every day in the wilderness from Egypt and into Canaan. And it was a coffin filled with bones. It was Joseph's bones. 400 years before their deliverance, Joseph died. Joseph died and told the people one thing. He said, "Don't bury my bones. Bury my bones back in the land you're going to go to. I came from that land of Canaan. You're going to go back to it. But in the meantime, don't bury my bones here. Bury my bones back in the promised land." And for 400 years, the people were to tell their children about those bones. The children would say, "Dad, what's this coffin over here?" They say, "The bones of Joseph are in there, son. And the bones of Joseph remind us we're going to get out of here one of these days. And even though they're beating us, even though we're having to build cities, even though we're having to make brick without straw, even though they're killing us on the right hand, on the left, we are going to get out of here one of these days because those bones are our guarantee we're coming out." The bones were a memorial to the uncompromising, unfailing promises of God. And God kept His word. For 400 years, those bones remained unburied. And the Bible says when they crossed the Red Sea, the bones of Joseph went with them. For 40 years as they were traveling through the wilderness, the bones of Joseph were there. They could be eating a piece of manna and standing there with their arm on the coffin going, "What is God going to do tomorrow? We're so afraid. We don't know if we're going to make it tomorrow. Oh, the sky's going to fall. What are we going to do? What if we die right here on the spot?" With daily provisions in their hand and daily memorials around them, they forgot what God had done in the past. They forgot what God had done that morning by raining down manna. And therefore, they had a daily provision and memorial. Not only did those bones go with them through the land of the wilderness, but as they crossed the Jordan River, went into the promised land, through every battle, those bones were there. And finally, after they had conquered all of the cities and they moved in their respective pieces of property, they buried the bones of Joseph. God kept His word. If God will keep His word then, He'll keep His word now. Daily memorials. Well, let's go a step further. What about weekly memorials? Oh, they had one every week. It was called the Sabbath. The Sabbath was a memorial. In fact, we're told in chapter 20 of Exodus in verse 8, it says, "Remember the Passover," or probably, "remember the Sabbath to keep it holy." Remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. What were they supposed to do to keep the Sabbath holy? Remember. Remember. It was a day to not work, but to remember. God has kept me all 6 days. It was a day to remember what God had done for them that week. And then the next day was the first day of the new week, so that they could enter into the brand new week after a day of rest, remembering what God had done the previous week. Now they were in anticipation for what He's going to do this next week. If God was this good the past week, what's He going to do for me this week? Again, the power of the memory to remember what God has done, and then therefore spur us on to what God will do in the upcoming week. Do we have a daily memorial? Of course. The provisions on our table. Do we have daily promises of God? Of course. The priesthood. And of course, we have the Word of God. Do we have weekly memorials? The answer is yes. You're sitting here right now. Church. We come to church. But how often do we walk out with a basket full of bread and fall apart? How often do we leave from here not remember the service, not remember the teaching, not apply it? We leave church at church. We go to work and forget the things of God. Yet God says, taste. Remember. Let your memory kick in. And therefore, you can be in great anticipation of what God wants to do and is about to do. Well, they also had yearly memorials. This was seven of them. Every year they had seven yearly memorials. to again thank God for what he'd done in the past year and what he was going to do in the upcoming year. The first one was Passover. Just write this verse of scripture down. I'm going to give you all seven. The first one's what I'm going to give you a scripture on. Exodus 13:3. Here's what Moses said to the people about Passover. And Moses said unto the people, remember ye this day. What was the importance of the Passover? Remember ye this day. He says, in which you came from Egypt, in which you came out of the house of bondage, for by strength of hand the Lord brought you out from this place. So Passover was to remind them of how God supernaturally delivered them out of bondage, how that they came out of the house of Egypt. Passover was to remind them of the death angel, to remind them of the blood over the doorpost, to remind them of the Red Sea, to remind them how that it was God by a supernatural hand that delivered them out. The Passover was a memorial. And if God did that in the past and he's kept us all year long, he's going to keep us in the upcoming year. The same God that delivered us out of Egypt and the same God that's kept us all these years is the same God that will keep us in the upcoming year. Then the next one that came along was unleavened bread, a memorial to the fact that not only has God got us out of Egypt, but he's rolled the reproach of Egypt off of us. The leaven is gone from our life, and therefore Egypt is no longer a part of our life. The next feast was first fruits. And here, after God delivered them and brought them out, he blessed them abundantly with natural things. Therefore, they were to give and honor the Lord with the first fruits of all of their increase. So would their barns be filled with plenty. Their presses would burst out with new wine. Every gift to God was a memorial of what God had done in the past and therefore what God would do in the future. Next of all came Pentecost. Pentecost was where the grain was brought in, the first loaves were prepared, and this was a kickoff, not only for the past, but also a kickoff for the summer coming up, that the dry season was coming. The time of rain would be over, and during the summer, while there would be no crops brought in, the crops that had come in during the spring would hold them all the way through the summer. Pentecost was a step of faith and an act of faith that God would provide all through the summer months. Then came the three in the fall. The three in the fall was trumpets, atonement, and tabernacles. Trumpets jogged their memory. For during the month of October, when the trumpets would blow, the people would hear it, and suddenly they would remember. It's much like when churches today and in the past used bells. They would ring the bells to announce the church service. What did that make the people think of? Church. God. It's much like when the woman stands out on the porch and rings the dinner bell, and that sound goes out. What's that do? It makes you remember it's time to eat. Why, that dinner bell can make you salivate. Amen. Not just Pavlov's dog, us. But you know what the Word of God does? It makes our faith begin to salivate. When we remember what God's done for us, oh, it begins to rise up. Woo, we're expecting something great. In fact, the expectation becomes so strong we begin to salivate now. We begin to think about what God's going to do. That was trumpets. Trumpet says, oh, you think it's been good in the past? Here comes the time of great harvest. And so then came atonement. Atonement looked back over a whole year. Atonement was the time when the blood was shed. The scapegoat and the sacrificial goat were brought in, and the people rejoiced that their sins had been forgiven. But then the final last one, I love this one, is the Feast of Tabernacles. Tabernacles is how we translate it, but let me tell you what the Hebrew calls it. The Hebrew calls it the Feast of Booths. Booths. What they would do is they would build a booth and live in it for a week or two. If, in fact, when you go to Israel right now, during that time of the year, we've been over there before during the Feast of Tabernacles. And on top of the homes, the people move out of their nice plush homes and they move into these little tents. Sometimes it's nothing more than sticks that are set up and skin stretched over it, and the people move in there and live there for a week or two. You say, why in the world would they move out of a nice, comfortable home with a nice living room and televisions and ovens and all the comforts of home to move into something like this? It's to remind them of where they came from. It's to remind them of where they've come from and what God has blessed them with. So for a couple of weeks they would live in this, and once a year they were to be reminded that God had brought them out of captivity, out of abject poverty, and they were to remind themselves and look at this booth and remember where God had brought them from, so that when they went back into their house, they were more thankful than ever before for their home, more thankful than ever before for what God had blessed them with. Some of the greatest testimonies we have are people who go on these missions trips, and they may never be called to be a missionary, but they come back more thankful than ever for what they have when they see how the rest of the world lives. But you know what? Stop and remember. You don't have to travel around the world. How did you used to live? Where's God brought you from? Sometime get in your car and drive by the old house you used to live in and rejoice for what God's blessed you with. Drive by the old apartment you used to live in and rejoice for what God has blessed you with. Again, it's time to reminisce, go back, remember. For in that remembrance comes a great time of rejoicing and remembering that God's about to bless you even in a greater way than ever before. So what did the people have? Oh, they had daily memorials. They had weekly memorials. They had yearly memorials. Listen to this. They had a memorial every seventh year. This was called the sabbatical year. And once every seventh year, they let the land rest. What did God promise? God promised the sixth year he'd provide and a bumper crop would come in for the seventh year. But during that seventh year, the land rested. And what were the people supposed to do? Stop and remember that it wasn't by my hand. It wasn't by my power, but by God's power that I have done this. And for a year, the land would rest and they would see that God is the one who brought them great provisions and God is the one who had blessed them. But listen to this, every 50th year, at least once in your life, you got to see a jubilee. The jubilee was a memorial. The jubilee was where on the 50th year, everything went back to its original owner. And for a year, you had to remember something. This is where I started from 50 years ago. Whoa, has God blessed me in 50 years? This is where I started out with 50 years ago. You say, why would God make them give everything back? I thought God was a God of prosperity. Oh, they could always get it back later. Businessmen would always get it back. Shrewd people would always get it back. Again, there's ways of getting things back, but that year was so important to stop and remember, it's the Lord that has blessed me. It's the Lord that has prospered me. So for a whole year, they had a symbol of grace, a symbol of God's mercy on them, and that was, again, the year of Jubilee. So God, again, had daily, weekly, yearly, and then every 50 years had a memorial established for them. But I want you to write this verse of Scripture down. Not only did he have those memorials, but he had these memorials too, that those type that when you just walked by them and saw them, you had to remember it. He had those. And when the children of Israel first entered into the land of Canaan, here's what it says. Write this verse of Scripture down. Joshua chapter 4, verses 1 through 9. He had a stone memorial. And this is where the children of Israel crossed the Jordan River. And as they did, instead of like the Red Sea, where the Red Sea backed up in two directions and a giant wall formed on each side, the Jordan River just simply backed up. It was flowing in one direction, stopped and backed up, and a great wall was on one side, and nothing, as far as you could see, was on the other side, and the people crossed over. And when the people crossed over, the water stayed there. The water just stayed up on this wall on one side. And God told Joshua this, have the heads of each tribe go down in the river, where the bank, or down in the river bottom, where it's dry right now, and I want you to go down there, and I want these 12 representatives of each of the 12 tribes to find the biggest stones they can find, and bring them up and pile them up here on the edge. So 12 of the leaders went down there and grabbed the biggest stones they could find and carried them up on the edge of the river and set them down, and there were 12 stones that were there. After that was over, the river came back and went down and filled up its banks and went on flowing again. And the people asked, why? Why did we do this? And Joshua told him. He said, what this is for is so that when your children come back and ask, what is this stones for? You can remind them that not only did God bring you through the Red Sea, but the same God that brought you through dry across the Red Sea brought you dry across the Jordan River. Ahead of you was the Ark of the Covenant. Carrying with you was also the bones of Joseph. But some 2 million people walked across dry across the Jordan River during flood stage, the worst time of the year. But during that time, God brought us over, and son, these stones used to be at the bottom of that river. There's no way we could have swam down there and got these things and brought them back. We'd have drowned trying. Son, it was so dry, dust was under our feet, and we lifted up these stones and brought them up here. And this memorial is to let you know that the God that delivered your forefathers years ago is the God that will deliver you also. How important is it that we go back over the milestones in our lives and tell our children how God brought us through? That when financial pressure hit your parents, God brought us through. When trouble hit us, God brought us through. When sickness came into our house, God brought us through. It's important that we have these memorials around them so that our kids can understand that the God that brought my parents through, my grandparents through, the God that brought them through goes all the way back to the days of Adam and Eve. God has brought everyone through, and God will not fail. He will not fail us. Hallelujah. Let me tell you what verses 6 and 7 of that passage say. This shall be a sign unto you that when your children shall ask their fathers in times to come, what mean ye by these stones? That ye shall answer them, that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and these stones shall be for a memorial. Say memorial. In other words, these stones shall be for a remembrance unto the children of Israel. Notice this, forever, 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 forever. How important is church history? It's great. How important is the Word of God? It's great. How important is your own personal testimonies to your children? They're great. Because those memorials let them know that they serve the Ancient of Days who has never failed and will never fail. Well, ask yourself a question in closing. What's God done for you? Does God give you daily blessings? Yes. Food? Yes. Clothing? Yes. An income? Yes. Forgiveness of sins? Yes. Daily promises? Yes. All these things are daily provisions that God has given to you. Why, your list ought to be filling up so much that you're going to need pads of paper to put on there what God has blessed you with. Your bread list should be getting bigger by the day. Next of all, what about weekly blessings? Thank God for church. Thank God for Grace Fellowship. How many can look on the past and say you have grown immensely at Grace Fellowship? How many plan on growing more in the years to come at Grace Fellowship? Well, this is a memorial. Every time you drive by this building, it's not just a building. You say, whoa, did I learn some good things there? Whoa, am I going to learn some good things there? Why, when your children go off to children's church, whoa, Sunday school, VBS, camp, whatever it is, they're going to learn some good things there. Again, memorials to the good things God has taught us and God has blessed us with. What about also yearly? Does God give us blessings by the year? Does God give us blessings by the lifetime? The answer is yes. What does God give us every year? Well, you know, we have celebrations. Our nation has celebrations, but they don't quite know what it's for, but we do. Thank God for Thanksgiving every year. You know, we have more to be thankful for than ever before. We have more to be thankful for, certainly, than the world does. But you know what Thanksgiving should be also? A year to thank God for, or a time to thank God for what He's done through the past year, but a great anticipation of what He's about to do in the year to come. I even like the timing. Although Jesus wasn't born on Christmas that we celebrate, I thank God for the timing. Thanksgiving and Christmas, all this comes at the end of a year to help us to look back and say, thank God for the past year, but oh, we're beginning to salivate for the next year. The ringing of the bell is already causing me to anticipate greatly what God's going to do in 1995. Oh, the good things He's going to do. Christmas? Yes. All the great memorials. We've got one coming up here in a couple of weeks. It's called Independence Day, the 4th of July. The world doesn't quite know what to do with it. The United States doesn't quite know what to do with it. They look back and the problem is that we've been changing history so much. But you know what? We can thank God because we know how this nation was founded on the right to serve God, on the freedom of worship. Therefore, the 4th of July should tell us, if 1994 was this great, what's 1995 going to be like? What are the 4th of July is going to be like in the upcoming years? Christians have a lot to celebrate and worship God with. So again, forget not all of His benefits. Remember what God has done. What about communion? Oh, this do in remembrance of me. You know what we do every month here at the church? We have communion. Communion. Why? Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. Does memory have power? Yes. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul said that the power of the communion table will heal you. Even if you're at the point of death, will raise you up. That's the power of remembering what Jesus has done for us. So, you know, when you leave this church service today, don't walk out the door saying, well, that was a good service, and then forget about it. Remember it. Let this be an important time in your life where you start using the power of the memory, not just the power of music in the world and the fragrances and tastes of the world, but, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Remember the good things God has done for you. Forget not His daily blessings, who daily loads us with benefits. Father, we thank You this morning for Your Word sown deep into our hearts. Father, I ask that just as even Israel had memorials established around them, that, Father, this congregation would choose to place memorials around them, memorials of Your goodness, memorials of where You brought them from and where You brought them to. And, Father, the rejoicing would arise in our heart for what You're about to do in our lives. We give You all the praise this morning. With every head bowed, no one looking around. But you'll say this morning, Pastor Bob.
Thank you for listening to this podcast by Pastor Bob Yandian. If you would like to learn more about Bob Yandian or to view a product list, visit our website at bobyandian.com. Bob Yandian Ministries is training up a new generation in the Word of God. If you've been blessed by this ministry, we hope you will consider paying it forward and becoming a partner with Pastor Bob. For more information, visit bobbyindian.com.